You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Guys, and continuing our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. Really looking forward to it today. We, my wife and I had the privilege of going down last week to see a dear family friend, Fadi and Miranda Alhin. They were appointed evangelist and women's ministry leader down at the San Diego church conference that we were visiting. It was an awesome time to be there. Let's go to God in prayer to lift our souls and get us ready for a great time. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. You are so good to us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for everyone who's come this morning. Lift our souls, God, to you. Open our minds and hearts. Help us to see you and experience you. Father, help us to learn to ask, as a son or a daughter asks a mother or father to meet the needs they have. God, teach us to ask. Father, I pray you're with each one of us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of today's lesson is simply Ask, A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. And we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. Next week's our final lesson on that. CJ's done a great job the past week talking about not being judgmental, being gracious. And then on midweek, we talked about the idea of not giving away the sacred message of God to people who simply aren't interested or are like pigs would turn and trample you. And we realized, wow, it's so hard to know how not to be judgmental and when to, you know, give out this gift and when to make decisions to help or not help and how do you help and how do you handle your own pride and your own issues. And it can be confounding and difficult. And so then right after that part from CJ's lesson, he taught all about this last week. He launches into this classic passage about asking, seeking, and knocking. And so we need to learn how to ask God for the wisdom that we're going to need to live in this complex world that we live in. Recently, I've been looking through some journals, some prayer journals. And when I was looking through them, I saw quite a few interesting prayers. Many of them have prayers for relatives. We all pray and want to see the best for our family and friends, right? So I've got lots of prayers for my father, who still is a professing atheist. Lots of prayers for my older brother, younger brother, prayers for Carrie's family and our own children. We pray. Of course, I'm praying these days for my new grandson, Luca Lounsbury, praying for his future. I also found a prayer in there that came about like about 10 years ago. I don't totally remember the circumstance, but I saw I was appealing to God for help because Carrie and I had got into like a ministry conflict. You know, we work together leading the ministry and we don't always agree on everything. And we had a conflict and I remember reading through the prayer thinking, wow, this was challenging. And in the prayer, I asked for wisdom. I asked for resolution. I asked to learn how to be a great shepherd and guide. And what I realize is that when we appeal to God for other people or to resolve situations, you know, God gets to work on us. I remember in my early days, we would do these annual reviews, and we still do them. We just got done our annual review, ministry review. We do them like you do in professional, as, you know, teachers do them. I know Mark Shum was telling me how his review was going, and everyone does a professional review. We do them in the ministry, which is very, very professional career. And so I remember in the old days, you know, you could put a 1 for got to, you know, have a long way to go. 2, you got some improvement. 3, you're doing a pretty good job. You're doing your job. 4, you're exceptional. 5, you're over the top amazing. And I, on most of the categories in the old days, I was like, oh, 4s, some 5s, occasional 3, mostly 4s and 5s. And I, you know, I thought highly. I was like, I'm doing a great job. I'm a high school valedictorian. I was voted most likely to succeed. I'm doing great. But as you live a few years and a few decades start passing, the older folk can agree to this, right? You start to see the depth of who you really are. And my most recent one, I was reflecting on my review. I was looking over my own personal review as I ranked myself. And I was like, wow, mostly just, you know, doing a good job, have a long way to go. Like mostly 3s. I was like, wow, you know, there's some, you know, I have some strengths, But I realize that God has been refining me. And as I take on the responsibility of serving and being a good husband and trying to serve and shepherd the church and lead children and a family, you know, you learn you always have a long way to go. Amen. As a consequence, you do need to ask God for wisdom. But let's be honest, asking is hard, isn't it? Not because we don't want help, not because, you know, we don't need it, but because asking exposes us. It makes us vulnerable. It risks rejection. It reminds us that we are not in control. Asking means we need someone, and that goes against our pride. But in the kingdom of God, that's exactly where transformation and power begins, in dependence. And Jesus invites us to come to our Father in heaven like children, open, needy, honest, wanting real change and asking for God's presence in our life. You know, Dallas Willard, not only a favorite writer of CJ, but as well, I enjoy reading his material. He said in his book, Hearing God, God is not looking for people to talk at him, but to talk with him about what we're doing together. And another great spiritual writer, Richard Rohr, he wrote, prayer is not about changing God, but letting God change us. We're going to dig into this famous passage right now from the Sermon on the Mount, and that's Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12. And you can turn to it in your Bible or scroll down to your phone. I do have the verses on the screen for you if you want to follow along that way as well. Let's begin to read from this passage where Jesus launches into the requirement and calling to ask God, to seek God, to knock, really to solve some of these complex issues that we all go through. Amen? Let's begin to read. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Notice, it's interesting how he says the same thing twice. And I reflected on, I think he wants us to get it, right? He says it in two kind of ways right there. He wants us to get it. Ask, seek, and knock. There's a faith behind that. There's an action behind that. He goes on and says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In a parallel passage in Luke, Jesus says, how much more then will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Because he knows the ultimate thing that can make our life flourish is the Holy Spirit. So point one is simply this, ask boldly. We ask our parents for things as we grow up, right? Kids ask us, moms and dads, you know how this is. They're always asking you for things. And that's a good quality. We should be asking for what we need, all right? We need to learn to ask for what we want. That's a maturity part of life. We all need to mature and get to the place where we can clearly ask for what we want. Children learn that if they keep asking, some stuff they're going to get and some stuff they're not going to get, right? They probably always want to eat junk food for dinner, but moms and dads know, hey, that's not good for you. And so they learn, okay, if I keep asking for certain things, I'm not going to get it. And you begin to learn the will of God. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But we need to learn to ask for what we want. And this is not just something we need to mature in as individuals. And sadly, some haven't matured to the point where they know that. Others in relationships, Carrie and I have been going through this book, The 7 Prescriptions for a Healthy Marriage. One of the prescriptions is ask for what you want. But sadly, a lot of times we don't do that. I can be a little bit of a salesman, all right? That's my sort of a strength, but it can be a weakness. And I'm oftentimes the great suggester. Hey, Carrie, well, you know, why don't we go out for dinner? You know, sushi sounds really great. Don't you like it? I know you like it. And I'll start suggesting. And she's like, no, I don't really want to go. I'm in the mood for, you know, I want a light salad or whatever she wants to have. Salad and Caesar salad. And I'm like, sushi's really good. Remember when we went that one time? And I'll keep going on and on and on. And she's like, Is that really the only thing you want? Can't you just say, will you please go with me to sushi? And I'm like, okay, you're right. I'm being the great suggester, and I'm not just asking for what I want. We have to learn to ask, right? In the same way, we have to ask God for what we want. Spouses, you got to be very direct, right? In this book we're reading, it says, you know, the sort of the cliche is, do I have to draw you a map? Yes, draw each other a map. Tell each other exactly what you need. That's how you can meet each other's emotional needs. It's important to be very clear. Other times you can get cross-communication. It can cause problems. Same thing happens in life in general. But, you know, God's talking to us about the importance of learning His will. And in James, He says, you want something, but don't get it. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. If our motives are self-consumed, God will oftentimes just not answer. Now, I do think God, like any good father, at times He wants to give you a little gift, a little joy, a little something. Maybe it's not bad for you. You don't necessarily need it. I think God does that for us at times as well. But you have to check your motives. Children that ask their parents and over eventually learn, hey, this isn't going to work. And their motives, God's answers and parental answers begin to reorient the motives of the children. They begin to think more clearly. And as adults, when we seek God, He wants to train us to be in line with His will. And when we are, we see this verse that John, the writer, wrote. He said, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. So what is the will of God? You know, the scriptures teach the will of God is that we be sanctified, which means made holy. He wants us made holy. He wants us purified. You know, Paul wrote in his letter to the Thessalonians that it's God's will that you're rejoicing always, that you give thanks in all circumstances, that you're a grateful person. God's interest is in your spiritual development, not that you get the new car or necessarily the new job that you think will make life more comfortable, because comfort doesn't lead necessarily to a flourishing life. God is interested in transforming you, not just making your life easy. Amen? And we got to ask Him, God, we got to ask Him boldly for what we want. What kind of things? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And when you ask for wisdom, be ready for some difficulty to come your way, right? Back in the early days, I remember in the ministry, all the disciples said, hey, are you praying to be humble? I said, yeah. I said, you better be careful. You pray to be humble. God's going to help you. He's going to answer that prayer. You're going to go through some hard times. I would ask that you continue to pray that prayer and not be afraid of the difficulty that will come your way, because a true flourishing life is not the American dream of a big house and multiple cars and all comfort. It's walking closely with God, knowing Christ, enjoying the fellowship of sharing in the sufferings of Christ, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know, Paul wrote to the Ephesian church this. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. What's the Apostle Paul asking for this church? That they would understand the wisdom of God and have a revelation of His presence in their life, seeing God and knowing God and walking with God, praying for wisdom. The scriptures teach you can get that, but it comes through a life of years of faithfulness. It's not easy. You got to hang in there, but wisdom brings a deep and abiding harmony and peace in your life. Point two, you also need to seek wisely. Seek and you will find, right? Asking starts the journey, but seeking keeps it going. Seeking means we're participating in the answer to our prayers. We don't just wait, we follow the Spirit's lead, right? We're seeking, meaning there's action behind it. I like, again, the writer Richard Rohr. He said, the goal of prayer is to become who we're meant to be. And yes, I desperately want my relatives to become faithful followers of Jesus. But I think the way God answers that prayer is he helps me become the person that can love them with humility and brokenness and tenderness. God works through you to answer your prayers. There's a famous scientist named Alexander Fleming. And the story is that he sort of happenstance came upon one of the greatest medicines known to humankind, penicillin, which, you know, many other antibiotics developed from penicillin. And it began to save many, many, many lives. But he found it sort of by accident through trial and error, right? It was a chance. However, how many people do you think in the history of mankind who saw people dying of sickness, of infection after infection, prayed, God, please, is there some kind of cure? My mom, my child, my dad, they've passed from this horrible infection. And all of a sudden, penicillin is discovered. I believe God works that way. I believe God works that same way. He'll work with cancer in the same way. How many of us are praying for someone we love to overcome cancer or for a cure to cancer, right? And we know there are various types of cures out there. See, God's listening. When we're seeking these things, he produces answers. Today, what are you chasing? Are you seeking wisdom or just relief? When we seek wisely, we find more than answers. We find transformation. So here's some passages. Jesus said, seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. As we go on in the text, we keep reading all these verses about seeking. We all know the one in Jeremiah 29 that says that you should seek the Lord with all your heart. You know, I had these plans for you. If you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. But what I like is in Deuteronomy, Moses said this same thing. He said, if you leave God, he says, if from there, when you're distant from God, if you seek him, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. God is interested in answering that prayer. What else does the Bible say about seeking wisely? Seek righteousness, yes, and seek humility. Seek peace and pursue it is the next one, right? Seek peace and pursue it. Don't we want peace in our life? Absolutely, we want peace. He says, seek justice, defend the oppressed. He's not talking about seeking wealth, right? Most of us want wealth in our westernized culture, but he's saying, seek the spiritual things that change life. And then I like this. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. What was Jesus seeking? He was seeking you. He was seeking after your soul. He was seeking after me. He came to seek those who had drifted from God. He was interested in you, in a relationship with you. And then I love this proverb that says, he that wins souls is wise. In other words, he who seeks souls is wise. This past weekend when I was down in San Diego, it was great to be there at the conference. San Diego Church had this big weekend conference, similar to our LA Jubilee, which is coming up, by the way. And a lot of them are going to be coming to the LA Jubilee. But they had their own San Diego conference. It was so great to see people. One guy came up to me. It was a guy I hadn't seen in 30 years. His name was Eric. And he said, Steve, do you remember me? And I remembered him, but not that well, right? I was like, I think, tell me. He goes, 30 years ago, you drove an hour and a half to come and study the Bible with me. You were so excited. Get me to study the Bible. I said, I was. He says, yeah, and I wasn't interested. But I always remembered that you were willing to drive that far. And you were willing to do this. I was like, okay. And he says, and I became a disciple like a year later. And I've been faithful down here in San Diego the whole time. I was like, amen. Praise God. And it reminds me of Friday night. I got to go to our singles ministry and an awesome worship devotional. So great. Thank you for all those that hosted it. I know Hanley's house and Jeffrey and a lot of you guys coordinated it. Geraldine and Candace and Peter shared their testimony, and the singing was awesome. And it was just encouraging to be there. But what really struck me is Peter Dwan's testimony when he was sharing his own story. And I'm sure we'll have them at some point up in front. And you shared it in about a 50 out there, Peter, but you'll share it in front of a couple hundred next time, right? It was awesome. But what struck me was he said, similar to what happened to me on the weekend, he said, what changed me so much was I was in the lowest part of my life. And all of a sudden, a friend from college saw one of my posts on social media that was not, it was a post of desperation, a cry, an ask for help. And it was Zahid. And he said, Zahid drove like 2 hours to come and just say, I want to be with you. Jesus has a plan for you. And it transformed Peter's entire life, seeking with wisdom for souls. So thank you, Zahid, for that kind of heart. May we all seek wisely. And is there anything more important than the souls of mankind? Well, yeah, our relationship with God and our relationship with others and their relationship with God are things that are wise to seek. Amen. Great job, Zahid. I love you. Keep that zeal going. And Peter, thank you for sharing so humbly and just powerfully the other night. Really appreciate it. The ladies as well shared incredible. Loved Geraldine and Candace just did a tremendous job. You know, as we seek God, he will transform you. The last thing in doing that, though, is you have to knock steadily. You have to continue in, right? You have to persevere. Knocking is persistent. It's what you do when you're sure you're in the right place, even if the door hasn't opened yet. Dallas Willard again writes, persistent interaction with God is the surest path to transformation. Persistent interaction, knocking on the door consistently, changes things. You can't give up in your prayers. Have you ever looked back at some of your prayer journals and just seen prayers you've asked for time and time again? God knows you wrote those. And he's transforming you so that your will aligns with his will. And when you're in line with his will, he will do amazing things in the world and in your personal life. There's another historical story that I think is quite fascinating. It's a prayer story I read about. And many of you grew up in the time of, you know, when you had the Cold War going on. Like my generation, the Cold War was going on. A lot of the younger generation, you have to read about this in your history books. But of course, after World War II, communism began to rise. And in 1961, in Germany, there was a conflict between the East and the West, between communism and Western values. And they erected what's known as the Berlin Wall, started in 1961. And this divided, you know, that entire city in half. It was a difficult time. It stood for almost 30 years. But about 7 years before it ended, there's the story of a prayer group that would begin to pray for it to be taken down. And every Monday night, they would pray that the wall would come down and there would be unity amongst the people. It was a prayer group. It was like a candlelight vigil. It was called the Leipzig Prayer Rallies. Over time, the prayer vigil began to build. And at one point, it had 125,000 people. And right before the wall came down, that prayer rally became a whole rally for the city. And over 300,000 people had gathered. One of the communist officials said that they had prepared for every contingency to prevent, you know, the wall coming down. The one contingency they hadn't prepared for was candles and prayer. And a crescendo of spiritual requests to God went up, and that wall came down in 1989, right? Almost 30 years. Prayers change things practically in this world. They change us individually, and they can change the world. We need to knock, and the door will be open to you. Now, I don't want to get by this without bringing up just some practical. This message is a message of faith. And we're going to get into a final closing comment here in a second or two from the golden rule. But I do want to say to each of us, this is just good practical wisdom for life. Ask, seek, knock. Be faithful. Ask for what you need, right? Be bold. You know, seek out things. A lot of us are in between jobs, need new jobs. We need jobs. Now, I'm saying God's not all really interested in you just being a wealthy person for yourself. But I do believe he wants all our needs met. And you do have to knock on enough doors. You do have to fill out enough applications. If you don't have a job, your full-time job is to find a job, right? Now, a lot of us, you know, hey, there's other situations in your life. You've cycled through it. You're retired. Praise God. Your full-time job is to serve Jesus with all that extra time and your responsibility and build the kingdom of God, right? Thank you for that. But as he goes on in this text, the ask, seek, knock, he lands on this verse, which is known as the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And I found this very fascinating that this famous verse, we've all heard this, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. It had been around for hundreds and hundreds of years in the negative, so to speak. You know, like Confucius said, don't do to others what you don't want done to you, right? There's the negative side of it that had been around in many cultures for many years. Jesus gives the positive message to this, right? To do to others what you would want them to do to you. And I began to think, why does he put this right here at the end of this passage that talks about the importance of having discernment and not judging and then seeking God and asking and praying out that, what, how does that connect? And it made sense to me that God is asking for us to have a graciousness about us and to have a faithfulness about our prayers. And you will have faith in your prayers as you ask God, because the scriptures teach with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if you are a person that does to others things that are full of grace and generosity and kindness and giving and serving and meeting needs and giving the shirt off your back and pouring your life out, then it's going to be easy for you in faith to ask the same both from others and from God. And what you find is this: love unleashes faith. It is love that unleashes your faith. If we love large, then we're going to have the faith to ask for big dreams. Because naturally what begins to happen is you think, well, I would do this for other people, and I am doing this for other people. God, you can do it in my life. You want to do it in my life. But oftentimes, we love little. So not only does the scripture teach he who loves little or who has been forgiven little loves little, but when you're forgiven much, you love much. And when you love a lot, your faith begins to grow. And love is a decision you can make. You can make the decision to have agape love. You can choose, I am going to treat others the way I want to be treated. And this is a little part of your dreaming right here. The Bible says that faith is being sure of what you hope for. You got to have some hope. You got to have some dreams about what you want to see happen in your life. And then love others the same way. And your faith will grow. So today, we need to ask boldly, seek wisely, and knock steadily. And when we do this, and if we do it with the cap, the end piece of love, which is to do to others what we want done to us, our faith will grow. And we can begin to ask for miracles and see miracles like the invention of penicillin, or see things like the walls falling down, or see, yes, your own family become followers of Jesus, or for the wall or the mountain in your whole life to come down. Jesus said, even this mountain can be moved if you believe and have faith and you pray in the will of God. At this time, what I want us to do is I want us to just take 3 minutes before we take communion. I want us to ask this question to ourselves and answer. So just with the people to your right or to your left, or a couple people right in front or behind, let's take 3 minutes and let's have a little discussion on this. How can you grow in asking, seeking, or knocking? Amen? Let's take 3 minutes to have the discussion, and then we'll pray for communion. Ask boldly, seek wisely, knock steadily. Now, interestingly, of course, A-S-K, ask, right? It fits. God's calling us to appeal to him. And he demonstrates the greatest example of love that builds our faith, which is he went to the cross. He did for us. He gave himself up for us to give us the opportunity. His example of love gives us the opportunity to have the greatest faith imaginable, a giving up of oneself to change not only our own individual destiny, but the destiny of all mankind. Let's go to God in prayer as we thank him and ask him to continue to give us his mercies and his love. Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your son as the atoning sacrifice, to give his very life, to shed his blood for us, doing for us what we would want to do, Father, what we would want done, what we need, giving us what we didn't even understand we needed, loving us beyond compare. Father, thank you for that. May we respond to that love with the humility and vulnerability to truly ask you to transform us, to make us into your people, and to simply be with us as we go on this journey. Thank you for your blood shed. Thank you for your body given. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.